Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Let's give the children's workers a big round of applause. Hang on. Who is it? Joe and Debbie and Angela Grant. They do such a great work with our children. And we'll be seeing them up the front pretty soon, guys, to let us know what's going on there. Well done, Joe and team. So, praise the Lord. I was going to say sit down, but you already are. Well done. And just before we get into this, our Victoria's going to get up. You know, we love, actually, this Victoria's going to do the reading, so that's probably about there. You know, we love to encourage our young people to come through, amen? You don't want me getting another 10 years older with a little walking stick at the front here, still doing what I'm doing. Yeah. So we want the younger generation coming through, yeah? So we train them, we teach them, we give them opportunity. And someone said the other day, you know, that we're going to be employing Sam. Sam does so much of the stuff. He wasn't here today. We really struggled to get it all up and running, but we got there, you know. And someone said, well, does that mean you're going then, Clive? I went, not at all. I'm here. I'm staying here. So if anyone says to you that I am going, you can tell them absolutely not, okay? I'm staying here. Pardon, do I? You kidnap me, yeah, that's it. And you do some of that jerk chicken and I'll come round any time. Don't worry about that. But now I'm here. It's never about that. I want us to catch what we're about. We believe that we're building family here that really do care and love for each other. Yeah, so we're the gospel at the centre of it. Okay, where we do share the gospel with our friends and our family and those we know and love. And out of that, I believe God is blessing us all of a sudden through lockdown that Basildon is now a church. It started with five people that used to come in every week and on Zoom because we couldn't meet together, they couldn't meet. And we said at the end, what do you want to do? And they said, we want to still meet. So we said, okay. God spoke to us about two flourishing trees at that time. So although it looked really ridiculous to go for it, actually we said, okay, we're going to do it. And that's what faith's all about, guys. When God's put something in your heart that sounds ridiculous, you've probably heard from God. If he put something in your heart where you think, yeah, I think I can do that, it probably isn't from God because there's no faith in it. But we stepped out in faith. And now there's about 30 people involved with the Basildon church plant. And they're vibrant. Honestly, they're really gunning for it on a Sunday morning. It's like wonderful to see. And so what we want is another one and another one and another one. But it doesn't mean I'm going anywhere from here. It means we'll train people up. I think it's fantastic how we've seen people rise up, different preachers, different worship bands coming through, group leaders, new groups birthing out. I think there's a new youth group birthing out. Why? Because we want more for them. We want something shaped for them, not us as getting older, something young, vibrant, fresh for them. And this is what we're all about. Because it's so easy to get stuck. And God's saying to me through this series, don't get stuck, guys. That God is fresh, moving, vibrant, alive. Does anyone in the house believe that God is alive? Can I hear an amen? Look at that. That was weak, that was. Can I hear an amen to that guy? Look at that. You see, God is alive. And actually, he's here amongst us. And I can tell you now, he is rejoicing. Rejoicing that we're moving forward. Okay? If you didn't know, we have eyes that look forward, not back. We have ears that point forward, okay? Our feet point forward. Our hands go forward. Everything is designed in a man, a woman to go forward. And that is our faith. We are supposed to keep going forward, not get stuck, not put up with the same old. That's not God. He wants more for each one of us. So that's what we're going to go for. That's where we're going as a church, as the vision. More church plants, more families like us birthed out, more people that we know coming to Christ. You up for that, church? Yes, I'm not going anywhere. But what we're going to do now, we're going to go into our first in our new series, working through Ephesians on identity. Okay, so Does everybody want to know what their identity is? Yeah, come on. Well, Diane does anyway. Well done. And maybe Adam. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear Ephesians 1 and lovely Victoria. Let's give her a round of applause as she comes up. There we go. Ephesians 1.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Come on, big round of applause, Victoria.
In whom we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that who we were first put our hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory, and also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Amen. Well done. Give them a round of applause, guys. Well done, Victoria. There's a preacher woman in the budding there. Come on. Come on. Okay. So, big hello to Haresh and Hamitha and family out there. Good to see you on screen earlier. And, may God bless you through this time. Okay. So, Ephesians 1. That was 3 to 14, so that you know. Are the children going out? Do you want them to go out first? Lord, we pray a blessing over these guys. Lord, that you would raise them up, and our youth, Lord, that you'd raise them up to be mighty men and women of God. We believe in the future generations, God. We believe in your revelation. We believe that there's going to be impartation today, that you will impart into each one of these something of you, God, that they won't be the same after today, that they will be renewed, and God, that they're on the path to great greatness in you. And everyone in the house said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the whole thing is about identity. Where's the time? Identity. And we did a little survey a while ago asking people, What subject would you like us to discuss? Okay, identity was far and away the most important one that people wanted to know about. So here we go. And so what I want us to realise as we go into this passage is that Paul spoke, Paul wrote this, but it's actually God who wrote it for us. So it was God speaking through Paul for each one of us. So as we go through this to learn our identity, I want you to know that it's actually God who's speaking to you. It's God who wants you to know who you are. And so if I asked you a question, who are you? What would you say this morning? You know, how would you respond to that? What do you think about yourself when you're thinking about yourself? What would your answer to that question be? Maybe it would be that I'm a nurse, or maybe you're a builder, or maybe you're a mum or a dad, or maybe you're single, or maybe you feel loved or hated, or you would say I'm rich, or maybe I'm poor, or maybe you would say that I'm successful, or you would say actually I'm a failure. Our identity is being who we are. But God wants us to know today actually who we are, so that we can become all that God created us to be, each one of us. And so Proverbs 23:7 says this, that as man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what that means is who you think you are deep down inside is what you will become. And that's quite scary for some. When you think about what you've become in life, and then you look back 10, 20 years, well, this is always who I thought I was in here. But God wants to challenge that, wants to change our minds. And our identity actually does change in our earthly one as we grow through life. I can remember being young and just a kid, young child. And I remember on my birthday, we used to have a bonfire, and there used to be loads of fireworks everywhere, and they used to burn this guy on the bonfire. And then one day, and I loved it. It was all about me, yeah. Until someday, somebody told me, actually, Clive, it's nothing to do with you. This is bonfire night. You know what? I cried like a baby, honestly, and because I thought it was all for me. And I don't understand why my mum never told me. But there you go. Some of them don't train us and teach us. And but then I thought I was the best footballer in the world. And I was in the school playground. I was amazing. Then I got on a 11-a-side pitch, and I was rubbish. And that one hurt. But then there was the other side of me. It was like actually when I was around people, I always felt that everyone else was better than me, that I was kind of like worthless. And many places, especially when I went around friends' houses and stuff like that, I felt like I had to apologize for even being in the house. And I don't know if anyone else has ever felt like that, but that was my younger years. But Ephesians, when I came to Christ, that all started to change. When I realized how much God loved me, as was spoken about earlier on, that God loves each one of us dearly. And this passage says that we are in Christ now. We are changed. We are transformed. We've got a new identity that God gives us that we're going to learn about. And I started to get that self-worth. It's like, and I started to even like myself. And that's what God wants to impart into us today. Whatever your background, whether rich, poor, educated, not, abused, or you've had a fantastic background. Maybe you're rich as anything, and you've got everything together, but you can still have that self-worth that's not great. Or it can be hooked on something that can be taken away tomorrow from any one of us. We want to write that today. What does God say? You see, as Christians, we all know that we're made in the image of God. You know, if we don't, we should know that one. But the problem is, we don't really realize how bad a taste we were to God before we came to Christ. How bad our lives were before Him. How sinful, how rotten we were in His eyes before He came to Christ. We don't realize how bad we were. At the same time, we don't realize how amazingly wonderful we are. Now He's taken us out of that and put us in Christ. Ephesians 2 tells us that before Christ, He describes us as dead. You know what dead is? It's dead. Dead in our transgressions, that's the things we do wrong. And we were following the ruler of the prince of the air, that is Satan, wanting us to do all sorts of things that we know are wrong, that we know that would offend God, that would upset God and let ourselves down. We'll go gunning after them things before we came to Christ. But now God has taken us out of that and put us in Christ. If we have Christ in us, then everything is changed. In Christ, we have a new identity. We follow a new King. This is King Jesus. Can I hear a glory to that? Come on, we're following a new King with a new hope, with a new peace, a new destiny, and the life of God living within each one of us. And the most important part of identity, let's say this, It isn't primarily to do anything. And I'm a doer. Achieving is one of my top gifts. Every day, I love to achieve more things, but it isn't that. It's not about doing things. That's not what our identity is. It's not about being anything either. It's not about serving God either. It's not about obeying God either. And you think, where's Clive going with this? It's not even about trusting God. The most important thing about identity that we have in God now is to know that God loves us. That God loves us, as Lloyd was bringing in this morning through worship. We ask God to speak to us through worship, and then Lloyd brought that, you know, the love of God. And that is the most important thing about our identity. You know, when we go out there in the world, we can fumble about, how do I witness to others? What do I say to other people? You only have to let them know how much God loves them. He loves them. He loves you. He's loved you. Tell them how much he loves you. But that is it. And God loves us. And our most important thing is to receive that love. And if you've never received that love before, you can receive it today. God wants to come into your heart today. And so God loves you. That is your identity start post, okay? Even when you feel at your worst that God cannot love me because of this or this. No, God loves you because he loves you and wants to bless you. Amen, church? Come on, what a message. God loves me, even though he knows everything about me, everything I've done wrong, but I've done this, I've done that. Yes, he does. And his love is not like yours and mine that's here today, gone tomorrow sometimes. His love is constant. It doesn't depend on us. He just cannot. He adores each one of us. Mark Twain said this, the two most important days of your life, the first one is when you were born, and the second one is when you discover why you were born. And so the truth is this, that God made us, like I said earlier, we were created by God, but we were created for his glory. And it's so easy for us to run off and try and make something of a life that we want to make of it. But actually, that's not why the Creator made you. And you're never going to find your identity by chasing things that God hasn't asked you to chase. Be who you are. He made us for himself, for his glory. That's what he made us for. He made us all for his glory for all eternity. So this little thing that we find ourselves in, this little thing called a body is only temporary. It's only here. You might be in it for 30 years. You might be in it 100 years. But it's a temporary thing where God is training us to be in heaven with him forever. That's where we're going. And so whatever happens to you in this life, you are just being trained to be with him for all eternity. This is preparation time for each one of us. You're being prepared for something else. This isn't not preparing you for this life. He's preparing you for heaven. If we've got that mindset, loves us, we receive his love, now he's preparing me for heaven, it stops us doing so many things that we don't need to be doing. And so the question is, how are you doing in your walk with Jesus? Are you allowing him to prepare you for heaven? And then he goes into this, and verse 3, it says, blessed be God who blesses us. And can we see what's happening there? It's blessing God because he's already blessed us. This is relationship, guys. Your identity is in relationship with God. He blessed us. He came to us before we wanted to know him. And so now we bless him back. And so your identity is in blessing him and being blessed by God. And he says there, that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What he is trying to do is that everything that God has is ours. One day we'll inherit it all, but now he wants to keep revealing himself, fresh things, new things to us every day about himself. We should never lose that awe and wonder when we come to worship. It's not about bringing all your woes to him. You can do that later, whatever. No, we come to him to worship him because he's worthy. And we say, as soon as we start worshiping, Because you can come in and think, oh, I'm not worthy of worship him. He knows I've done this. He knows I lost my temper. I swore during the week. I just don't feel worthy enough. That isn't it. You're never going to be worthy enough. He is worthy. And so we come in and we think, oh, this world has beaten me up, but I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to worship him who created me. I'm going to be the person he wants me to be. Just me and him, blessing him because he's blessed me. And that is who we are. That's how we come to God. And what he's trying to do to us now in this passage, is put your identity in you. So what do you want, guys? Do you want the thoughts that have led you to be the person you are, which I'm sure is pretty good in most cases, yeah? Or do you want what God wants you to be? It's far greater than beyond anything we could understand or imagine. Each one of us, he wants that for. And do you know the most beautiful thing I think in this passage is verse 4, is that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And so God knew you before your mum and dad came together and do whatever mums and dads do to produce children. He knew you before then, which was great for me because I'm a big old accident. And my mum and dad were told, you can't get pregnant until at least a couple of months after you give birth. And so they were at it like rabbits, not taking any precautions. And then 9 months later, Clive pops out. A big old accident. It's like, oh my word, we didn't plan on you, right? But that can really sink someone. That can really inside eat you away. And what about those that, where it's a one-night stand? Sorry, but today's world says go and sleep with who you want. God doesn't say don't because he doesn't want you to do it. It's because he doesn't want you in pain for the rest of your life. Yeah. And what about those who have been raped and abused in that way in their life? Your identity. It's so easy to grow up messed up, angry at the whole world because something happened that shouldn't have happened. We do live in a world full of evil. What do you do about your identity? You root it in here. God actually chose you, knew you, and loved you before the foundation of the world. Can I hear a glory to that, guys? Come on, because all this stuff starts to build up a belief in ourselves. That God believes in me so I can become something. God believes in me so my worth. Actually, I can like myself. And I can help others to like me now because I believe in myself. Whatever start you've had in your life. Ephesians 2:10 says that he does this so that we can do works of service for his glory. So our life should be one about glorifying God, giving ourselves to him. But sometimes it's hard to believe that God would do anything with us in our lives. I've been there. But this part of the Bible reveals our identity, that you are special, each one of you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are special. Now you can say that to me. No, yeah, I'll get it as well. Oh, there you go, you're special as well. All right. But you need to take that away. You are honestly, you're not that special. Easy up, come on. But actually you are. You are. Everybody in here is special because God knew you before the foundation of the world. Come on, he knows where we're going. He's got immeasurable riches waiting for each one of us. But so easy, living in this world, we disqualify ourselves. You know, we're not good enough, we're not educated enough. I've messed up so much in life, God couldn't do anything with me. I'm just an ordinary person. Well, read your Bible, because God actually chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You know, Moses, he could have discredited himself. He stuttered and he really doubted himself. Jesus had a weird accent. Did you know that? God, yeah, in himself. God himself came here with weird things about him that the world would think anyway. Or Timothy suffered anxiety and God used him. And then David was overlooked, wasn't he? His family thought nothing of him. He was a forgotten about guy. They called, nine or ten other brothers up to be the main one. It wasn't any of them. I'll get him out from the field. He's just looking after the sheep. Don't worry if you're looking after sheep. Just do the looking after the sheep well. Because when God's ready, he will lift you up and he will do what he wants to do in your life. Look after the sheep. And that's it. You see, God loves to work through us and shine through us. And here we honor people for what God has placed in them. So he gives the leaders spiritual eyes to see what is in you. And I'm continually calling people up and saying, oh, I believe that God is doing this in your life. Or will you preach? Or will you this or that? Or out there in the world, there's Jerry from Trinity the other day, and I just saw in him that he couldn't see it. He leads a school, he's the head of a school, and there's a couple of others that come under his leadership as well. And he didn't realize how much the kingdom of God was advancing because he's carrying Jesus into the schools. He's glorifying God into the schools. And so this is who we are supposed to be. So we honor people for what God has placed them, wherever they are called to be in this world. And that's what excites me so much about planting again, about the Basildon one, about others that will come out of this church and the hub that we're in, is that there is opportunity for everybody to be whatever God called them to be. There's no glass ceiling here. The only glass ceiling is in your life. You limit yourself by how much you pray, how much you read, how much you fasted last week. What will you do for God? Are you keeping in step with him? Keep in step and you watch the blessings come. Verse 5 said that he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. What that tells us is that God calling each one of you was nothing to do with you. You did not deserve salvation. He came to call you first. You didn't deserve it. He didn't call you because he's happy with you or it's something that you did, maybe that you're successful, so God called you. Not that. Not that he felt sorry for you either, or that you do good to people or give well. He didn't call you because of that. He called you because he loves you. He loves you. And he chose to birth us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Do a job in our hearts. Transform us inside. Why? Because he wants you in his family. And he did it. He chose you to adopt you as sons and daughters. Why? Because he didn't want to leave your salvation to chance. He loves you too much for that. He did it. He did it. Now, some would say, well, that's not fair. What about all those out there that don't believe in Jesus? What about those that are not going to heaven? Well, that really isn't the right way of thinking about it. We should be so overjoyed that God has called us. He has chosen me. You're sitting there today because God has chosen you. We should be so full of it, we can't wait to get out there and tell other people, because we know that he has others out there he's going to save, that he's going to bring into the kingdom. Imagine this, 2 Peter 3:9. God says this, the Father, I do not want anybody to perish. I want everybody to be saved. So if you want to know what God's heart is, I want everybody to be saved. But it's like this. Imagine you're throwing a party, okay? Let's say this. I've just hired a boat out, guys, and we're all going to go sailing around the world on the biggest boat ever. It's got 50 swimming pools, 10 gyms, 100, food places, restaurants. Yeah, restaurants. It's got everything there. It's got entertainment. It's got food, drink. It's going to be fun. Who wants to go? Yeah? Diane, well done. Look at that. Faithful Diane. Okay, so all right, and I've got the tickets here if you want. We got the tickets at the end. We'll have a massive response, won't we, at the end? If it's the, yeah. Ah, but there is three things about it. First of all, you can have a ticket. And actually, the most amazing thing is actually that trip around the world is going to be forever. forever. And it's free. You don't pay for anything. But three things: you don't abuse anybody, you don't abuse anyone. The captain says where the boat's going to sail, and you get to serve wherever you need to be serving, wherever the captain says. You know, some people say, I don't want it. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I don't want to follow anybody. And that is their choice. It isn't God's choice. Verse 5 says, according to the purpose of his will. Okay, that's why he calls us. God took us out of Adam, put us into Christ. Took us out of darkness, put us into light. He did it, put us in Christ, and made us sons and daughters of the God Most High. And in verse 10 it says, in the fullness of time, he will unite all things in him. So everything will be united in him. And this is our identity. God will then take us into heaven. This is actually who we are. But some people don't like their identity. Satan was dissatisfied with his identity. He didn't want to be an angel of light. He didn't want to be under anybody's authority. He wasn't bothered about what God wanted him for, God's plan, God's purpose for his life. He didn't care what God created him to be. He wanted to be in his own control of his own life, to do what he wanted in life. Actually, he wanted to be God himself, and we can place ourselves there. And I want to do it my way. I don't want your way, God. I don't care. You created me. I'm as good as you are. You see, John 8:44 says that he is the father of lies. Satan is God's enemy, and he's our enemy too. And he's a liar. He will lie to us. He will lie to you. He will say that you're no good. You can't cope. Life is too much. Who do you think you are? I'm too tired. I'm rubbish. All these things he will feed into your mind. You don't need God anymore. The choice is yours, guys. Who are we going to listen to? The words of Scripture where God has revealed himself to us? Or are we going to listen to that voice that when we get out there into the world, we know it's there? You know, I grew up thinking that other people were so much better than me, better than my family. I could never be anything. I remember thinking about, I always wanted my own business. But I thought, the people that run businesses, they're special. There's something about them. I'm never going to be there, until I came into contact with Jesus. And he said to me, no, you are. And this is who I called you to be. And the business has been going for 30 years now. You see, it's so easy to disqualify ourselves. We can feel so ordinary. But even if we don't feel that, you know what? The Queen, she wasn't very ordinary, was she? But there was something special about her. What made the Queen different from every other royal that we've had so far? What was different is she got hold of God. She got hold of Jesus. And she, amongst the elite of the world, did it really well, I believe. Showed the world what God is like. The steadfastness. Whatever the problems gave to us as a country, she would get up and she would say, it's okay, we're going to get through this. She got a hold of God, of what he called her to be, and she didn't let go. Guys, do not let go of what God has called you to be. And here's the thing. You know, the world honored her for that. I think she's the greatest leader that I've ever seen in my lifetime. The world honored her for holding on. I don't know what she was doing, holding on to God, what he called her for. But here's the truth, guys. You are royalty. It tells us in the Bible, royal priesthood. You can't excuse yourself. I'm in a bed. You know, no one liked me. No one loved me. I didn't have any money. I had holes in my shoe, and I didn't have holes in my shoe, and all that kind. No. You are royalty. God knew you from before the foundation of the world, called you out of that, and now he's transformed you inside. You're new. Discard the old stuff. Step out of that and start living the life of new. This God that loves each one of us. That's what God wants for you. And so 9 times it says in that chapter that we are in Christ. We are in Christ now. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, it means that at the cross that there was an exchange that went on. That we were once in Adam, just worldly, dead in our transgressions. That on the cross, Jesus took our sin. He took all the shame that we carry about. All the wrong things that we do were put in his body. And the wrath of God was taken out on him instead of us. And on the other side of it, we were taken out of that where we should have been there. We were taken out and put in Christ, in him. And now we enjoy everything that Jesus enjoyed. The blessings, that's what are immeasurable blessings. The blessing of being in relationship with our Father in heaven. The Father's love every day. The care he gives. The life he gives to us every day. His affection. And heaven is now our home. You are a new creation, guys. The old has gone, the new has come. You have a new nature. You are a new person inside. You have a new purpose, a new identity, a new destiny, and a new power working within. This is who we are. And why it's so important, who you think you are will affect every area of your life. Galatians 2:20 says, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is, we don't have to live chasing after the things that are no good for us. That Christ lives in us now. It's you and him together. I love that. Which means every morning that you awake, says in Lamentations, his love is new every morning. That we wake up loved and cared for with our future secure. That God did choose me. He does love me. And because I'm so overwhelmed with the love that God places in my heart, I go and do stuff because I love him. I tell other people about his love because I want them to experience the love that he's put in my heart. We go out and do it. What we don't do is get up in the morning feeling rubbish about ourselves until we've done a few things, then we feel good about ourselves. That's worldly. We're in Christ. Loves you before you do anything. Out of that, we do stuff. It's our finish. We are now placed in him, Christ. Verse 13 says, when we believed, that's when it happened, in him, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, each one of us. And to be sealed means closed. It means fixed. It means shut. It's not going to be opened up again. And with God, that means it's a done deal. It's a done job. It is finished with God. Your eternal life is secure. You are safe forever. So stop fretting. Stop worrying. Stop getting messed up in your mind about what Putin might do. So what if he, I don't want him to, but sends a bomb over this place, well, there you go. We're getting to be in heaven today. Look at that. The worst fear that you've got, you're going to get skint because of the electricity's going up and all the power stuff. God said, I'll provide for you. Rest in him. You see, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are in him now, taken out of darkness and put into light. So he took us out of darkness and put us into Christ. Okay? He did it. You cannot take yourself out because you didn't put yourself in. And no one else can take you out of being in Christ either. If you are in Christ, it's because God did it. You cannot come out of it. You are secure. And now with Christ in you, you are transformed. Are you going to go back to, was it like a dog, back to the vomit of the old life? Or are you going to live the life he wants you to live now? You and him together. You are the eyes of Christ in the world that you live in. You are the ears of Christ now. You have the mind of Christ now. You have the hands of Christ. Your heart is one with Christ now. How he feels, you feel. And the great thing is you have power and authority to change things in this world. It's what calling down the kingdom of God does, transforming it with his presence. And so I pray that Lord, you would give us revelation, understanding. Where we got, Lord, is only beginning. All this revelation of how much you love us and want to bless us and a new identity in you. Lord, I pray, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive you for who you are, this unfathomable God, God far greater than we ever gave you credit. And we are far more special than we ever, ever thought. Can we please stand? If you don't know Jesus in your heart yet, if you want to be safe and secure for all eternity, let's just pray that prayer together. I wasn't going to, but I feel nudged to. Yeah, you can have that today. If you want God's favor in your life, if you've tried life however the world has taught you to do it, and it hasn't worked. It's ended up a bit of a mess. It's ended up, how did I end up like this? I don't even like myself now. That may be too far for some, but actually, you just want this in Christ theory. This love of God, this presence of His Holy Spirit, this blessedness, knowing that we're going to heaven to be with Him forever. Yeah, if you want that, and you didn't know that before, we're just going to say sorry for the things we've done wrong and invite Christ into our life. Believe He rose from the dead. Just follow me. We go through a prayer. Lord Jesus, come on, let's all pray. Heads bowed down. We don't want anyone. This is just between you and God. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. God, I want to know the blessing in my heart. Your presence. You are risen, Jesus. You are my identity now. I want that, Jesus. I want to be one with you. I want to live my life for your glory. I want to discover my purpose in you. I want my life to count, Lord, and not be wasted. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Flood into my life. Have your way. Have your way. If you said that for the first time, come and see me at the end. I've got a booklet that will really help you. I'm just going to ask, if we just raise our hands for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come on us, Lord. Reveal the lies that we've listened to, that we're not good enough and not educated enough and we talk funny and we messed up so much in life. Lord, or maybe we feel like we've been super privileged in life. Yet even the Queen, the most super privileged ever, only made something special in her life when she held on to you, Jesus. And so God, we renounce any lie that Satan has put in our mind. We stop disqualifying ourselves. Holy Spirit, come. Give us freedom, Lord. Give us revelation that Christ is in us now. And Lord, you see the guilt in our heart. You see the shame. You see the condemnation. You see any darknesses that are there, the doubts that are there. Lord, I just see there are some you just feel glued up inside. Just about getting through life like that. And you want this freedom to stop worrying about your life. Just concern yourself with Jesus and He will sort the rest out. But Lord, we break every lie that Satan has put over us. You are mighty men and women of God. You are royalty because God says you are. And He knew each one of you before the foundation of the world. Hold on to that. However you started in life, if you was a mistake like me, well, you weren't in God's eyes. Loves you. He loves you. And that is why He is worthy for us to praise and worship Him. Receive your new identity. We're going to build on this in the next few weeks, guys. Don't miss it, because by Christmas you're going to be completely different. I promise you that. By the power of the Holy Spirit, work in each one of us. Let us praise God. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.